thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
The scripture lesson actually is going to be somewhat unique today. It's going to be in three separate places, three separate verses. I don't typically do that. In fact, I don't recall a time ever doing this way, but this is the impression, the direction I feel that the Lord has taken us. And so if you'd like to turn to these three, you can, and keep a finger in them. If not, there'll be one verse, and I'll read them at the time that we feel we need to. But scripture lesson today will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, and Mark chapter 12, verse 30. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, and Mark chapter 12, verse 30, and we will, of course, reference those when we come to each of them. I recently heard an explanation of what the Bible says about the balance of works and law with faith and love. There seems to be a need always for these ideas to be balanced in our minds. And I recently, as I've said, heard an explanation of how the Bible describes that balance and what it ought to look like. Essentially, in the Christian life, what part do works play, and what part does love play? What part does law play, and what part does grace play? How do we balance these things? Do we work our way to heaven, or are we simply given a promise of heaven through grace, and works are not involved either before, during, or after our salvation? How do you keep these things in balance? What's the right view of this? What impact should the fact that I claim to be a child of God have upon my life? What merit do those works provide for me as a result of the fact that I've done them? How do we keep these things in balance? And I've recently heard a very simple and short explanation that I want to keep with me and I want to share with you. It says, man's religion says you do, and because you do, you are loved. But the message of Scripture is, you are loved, and because you are loved, you do. And that is the balance, very simply put. It is not that we do and then God loves us. God's love for you is not based, or there is not a prerequisite that you do good things in order for him to love you. So we do not do, and because we do, we are loved by God. We are already loved by God, and because of that love, we do. Because of God's love, we work. We do not work to gain his love. We do not work in order to feel worthy of his love. And many of us struggle with that. We struggle with that in our earthly relationships as well. To believe and to trust, and belief and trusting in others is a lesson that I did not learn as a very small child, and I won't get into my background, but to trust that someone loves me and loves me apart from what I do is the most beautiful thing, I think, in an earthly relationship that we could ever have. And the same is true with God. He does not love us because of what we do, but because he loves us, we do. We work. The sense here, again, is that religion often gets it convoluted and disconnected from the message of the Bible. In our doing because we are loved, we can often inadvertently turn that into doing so that we are loved. And we can equate those things together. Many seem to be preaching this message that says, do the right thing and God will love you. Come to this church and God will love you. Give your tithes and God will love you. Be kind to others and God will love you. Be a good person and God will love you. Do you see the thought behind that? You do, and then because of what you do, God loves you. It's not what the Bible teaches. And I'm thankful that that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible very clearly tells us that we are already loved. And because of that love, we are to do the things in our life that God has called us to do, to give joy and pleasure to the one who has loved us already with a love unmatched by anything else in the world. No one loves you the way God loves you. No one does. Later on today in our Bible study time, if the Lord moves this way or directs this way, we'll leave that in His hands. But there's something I want to show you. And a lady expressed and talked about the fact that she found a husband that was, she knew she had found a good one because he loved God more than he loved her. And I know what she was trying to say. But no one loves us like God loves us. The Bible again teaches that God loves us. Have you ever really, though, stopped to think about that truth? That God has already loved everyone. Already. Think of the worst sinner that you could think of, from the famous ones to just the ones that you might know that the world knows nothing about. And then think even of yourself. Have you ever really stopped to think about the fact that God loves you? You've heard it. Who knows? What do you think? Tens of thousands? Hundreds of thousands of times? But I want you to stop today and actually think about what it means that God loves you already. Totally disconnected from any work that you have done, are doing, or ever will do. He's already loved you. Every person that has ever been alive on this planet has already been loved by the author of love, God. Everyone from king to beggar, from the man with everything to the beggar on the streets of Liberia, God has loved them and does love them. And we talk about that, and the Bible talks about that from the weak to the strong, from whatever country or nation or background, from good families to bad families, all have been and are loved by God. The greatest struggle in life, it's not a lack of money, though that's what sometimes we think. That if I just get enough money, then everything will be okay in my life. And we know that, right? And I think we understand that. The greatest struggle in life is not a lack of money. It's not a lack of financial resources. It's not a lack of a job. It's not a lack of fame. It's not a lack of this thing or that thing. The greatest struggle in our lives is often the lack of a sense and an awareness of love, isn't it? Think of the people who have everything that the world has to offer, yet when they feel they have no love, life is meaningless and pointless, and they grow distressed and discouraged, and many even take their own lives, and many ruin themselves on drugs and alcohol, and they ruin their lives even though they've got everything that this world has to offer them. Absolutely everything. It's not a lack of things. It's not a lack of money. It's a lack of love. It's the greatest debt that man has. And the debt of our country, what is it, nearly $21 trillion now? It's a thimble compared to the oceans of the debt of love that is felt in this country. But God is already loved with a boundless love. And He's already loved you. Already, no matter what you've done. There was a boy one time, I read this story, he asked his dad, he said, Dad, what is a millionaire? A young boy, what's a millionaire? And Dad stopped for a minute and he says, well, it's a person who has $1 million. The little boy paused for a minute and he says, well, I guess that makes me a one heir. Whether you're a one heir, a millionaire, or a billionaire, God has loved you. He has sent His Son to die to satisfy the law that you and I could not, cannot. And I want to begin this way today because it's very important that we hold on to this foundational truth as I go through what I feel God is pushing and compelling me to go through today. Because it's easy to misunderstand what I'm going to say today. It's going to be very easy for us to flip this thing around about the fact that we do and are loved as opposed to what the Bible says we are loved and we do. It's going to be very easy for you to then come to a place where you think, I need to do better, I need to do more, I need to think more, I need to love God more, I need to do this and do this and do this. I want to free you today from that kind of constraint and those shackles and those chains that are keeping you from the spiritual joy that God wants you to have. I want to free you today, if we can, with the Scripture's help and with God's help, certainly the Spirit of God, as He comes and reminds you here at the beginning, I don't love you because of what you do. I love you because of who I am. And because of who I am, I'm calling upon you to do things in your life. And I want you to do them not in order to get my love, but because I already love you. Because I already love you. I'm not asking you to sacrifice for my name's sake, God says to us. I'm not asking you to do these things so that I will love you. I'm asking you to do them because I already do, and I already know that it's the best thing for you in your life. Don't you think that the person who has the best advice for us would be the person who loves us most, or the person at least who would give us the most sincere, heartfelt advice in our life is the one who loves us the most? Don't you think the one who knows all, can do all, has been here eternally and will be here eternally and loves us more than anyone else ever can or ever will? Don't you think that is the advice and the encouragement and the commands that we ought to listen to? Now, there are people in my life that love me and I love and I listen to them and I honor them and I listen because I know they love me, but I sometimes wonder if we get this idea that I do and therefore I'm loved. No. I pray that you and I remove this idea, if it's in our heart, if it's in our mind, that I am loved because of what I do, and exchange it with the freedom and the spiritual liberty that comes from this reality. I do because I'm loved, not in order to be loved. If you get this idea, and we might say this again later, if you begin to understand what this means, you'll begin to understand that no sacrifice is too great for God. They all become very small in your mind because it isn't about you and what you've done. It's about what He's already done. So I begin this way again so that we can guard against this idea that we are to do in order to be loved, and so that we replace it and keep a very focused view of the fact that we are already loved and therefore we do. When we think of our sacrifices and begin to consider them as payments to God for His love, we're heading down the wrong path. We do not serve God to be paid. We serve God because we've already been paid with the greatest of payments, His eternal love and promise and presence. That's why we serve Him.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.